Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, December 30th, 2020. We'll begin our reading on the front page of the paper. Classic case of volunteering. Because the week-long State Farm Holiday Classic basketball tournament was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic, tournament staff and volunteers held a food drive to benefit the Midwest Food Bank. Volunteers and tournament staff took in canned goods yesterday to help the Midwest Food Bank. Top stories of the year: Bloomington Normal adjusts to COVID reality. The COVID-19 pandemic affected many aspects of our lives, but most significant has been the impact on our community's health, the number one story of 2020, and one that unfortunately will continue into 2021. The first death from the novel coronavirus in McLean County was reported on March 22nd. By early May, the county had recorded its 100th case. At that time, there had been 3 coronavirus deaths in the county. Now the county is closing in on 100 deaths, and the number of cases has topped 11,000. Thanks to Dr. Ezeki, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, we have learned about the 3 W's of prevention. Wear a mask, wash your hands, watch your distance, even if not everyone follows them. Reditus Laboratories in Pekin became a major player in COVID-19 testing, processing its 1 millionth test in late November. That number is now more than 1.25 million tests processed by the company that does processing for the testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds, as well as for Illinois State University and others. An unprecedented full court press to develop a vaccine resulted in the first shots being given this month in McLean County and elsewhere. The arrival of the vaccine has been welcomed as a sign of hope during a pandemic that has had precious few bright spots. Meanwhile, health officials keep a watchful eye on such things as the availability of intensive care unit space and regular hospital beds. In recent weeks, they've been near or above 90% capacity. Frontline medical workers featured in Sunday's Pantograph as the 2020 newsmakers have borne the brunt of addressing the health impact, working long hours in necessary but uncomfortable personal protective equipment. I've never seen the nurses be so tired, so emotionally and physically drained, Tracy Sondag, a clinical nurse manager with Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal, told the Pantograph. I've never had to witness so many patients experience loneliness here in the hospital. But then she added, I've never been so proud to be a nurse. From the Illinois General Assembly, 3 new laws set to take effect on January 1st. When a new year begins in Illinois, there typically are dozens, if not hundreds, of new laws going into effect. Not this year. Like so many other things in 2020, the legislative spring session was stunted by COVID-19. Once the global pandemic reached Illinois in March, the General Assembly would meet for only 4 more days, wrapping up the odd session during masked and socially distanced gatherings at the Capitol and Bank of Springfield Center. The fall veto session was scrapped altogether. As a result, only 3 new laws will take effect on January 1st, 2021. Here's a look at them, as well as the next increase in the minimum wage that will be applied on Friday. Insulin cost cap. Senate Bill 667, Public Act 101-0625, amends the Illinois Insurance Code to cap out-of-pocket insulin costs at $100 per month for all patients using a state-regulated insurance plan, regardless of the amount of insulin or type of covered prescription insulin drug used to fill the insured patient's prescription. Roughly 1.3 million adults in Illinois, or 12.5% of the population, have diabetes, according to the legislation. SB 667 also provides that the Illinois Department of Insurance, along with the Department of Human Services and the Department of Health Care and Family Services, must create a public insulin pricing report that includes a summary of insulin pricing practices and public policy recommendations to control and prevent the overpricing of insulin prescriptions. Senator Andy Menar, a Democrat from Bunker Hill, chief sponsor of the Senate bill, said in a statement that the legislation shows Illinoisans don't have to accept costly prescriptions as the status quo. We can change the fact that prescription medication costs more in the United States than any place in the world. This legislation passed because people spoke up and told their story. This historic legislation doesn't become law without them and their effort, Menar said in his statement. Use of DNA in missing person cases. House Bill 2708, Public Act 101-0266, amends the Missing Persons Identification Act to allow law enforcement agencies to obtain a DNA sample of a missing person or a DNA reference sample from family members' DNA once a missing person report is made. The law also provides that law enforcement cannot retain DNA samples from family members or the missing person after the person has been located. It also adds the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, a national information clearinghouse for missing persons, to the list of laboratories that law enforcement agencies can work with when trying to find a missing person. Senator Tony Munoz, Democrat from Chicago, who was one of the bill's sponsors, said in a news release that using the national system will hopefully help law enforcement find missing people sooner. Successfully finding a missing person requires law enforcement to move fast, and we want to make sure they have every tool available to do their job, Munoz said in the release. Keeping victims' addresses confidential. House Bill 2818, Public Act 101-0270, amends the Address Confidentiality for Victims of Domestic Violence Act by including survivors of sexual assault and stalking in the Illinois Address Confidentiality Program, or ACP, which offers survivors protection from their abusers by allowing them to acquire and use a substitute address instead of their real address. HB 2818 allows survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking who fear for their safety to apply to the ACP through the Attorney General's office. The ACP forwards all first-class mail and provides survivors with a substitute address for public records and documents, such as driver's licenses and state-issued identification cards. The bill also changes the name of the law from the Address Confidentiality for Victims of Domestic Violence Act to the Address Confidentiality for Victims of Domestic Violence, Sexual Assault, or Stalking Act. In a written statement, Attorney General Kwame Rawal said ACP is an important added layer of protection and peace of mind for survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. I am committed to ensuring that survivors have access to the resources and support needed to aid their recoveries, and I encourage survivors to participate in this program that can help protect them from the individuals who perpetrated crimes against them, Raul said in the statement. And the minimum wage increase. The minimum wage in Illinois will rise from $10 per hour to $11 per hour on January 1st. The Illinois General Assembly passed increases to the minimum wage in 2019 with legislation that raises the minimum wage $1 every year until it reaches $15 per hour in 2025. In 2020, wage earners saw their hourly wage increase from $8.25 to $9.25 on January 1st and to $10 on July 1st. We want to make sure that workers earning minimum wage are aware that the $1 increase should be reflected in their paychecks for any time they work after the first of the year, Michael Kleinick, director of the Illinois Department of Labor, said in a news release. While we fully expect employers will pay the new wage, we also want workers to be aware of the change. Today's Flick Fact question. It's the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, a federal agency responsible for protecting the public health, that has also been giving the official go-ahead for the release of the COVID-19 vaccines. The question is, who launched the FDA? And the answer, as many claim, everything somehow comes through Bloomington Normal. In 1906, a congressman who grew up in Bloomington, James Robert Mann, introduced legislation that became the Pure Food and Drugs Act, and with that, the basis of the FDA. Today is Wednesday, December 30th. It's the 365th day of 2020. There is one day left in the year. Today's highlight, on December 30th, 1903, about 600 people died when fire broke out at a recently opened Iroquois Theater in Chicago. On this date in 1813, British troops burned Buffalo, New York during the War of 1812. In 1853, the United States and Mexico signed a treaty under which the U.S. agreed to buy some 45,000 square miles of land from Mexico for $10 million in a deal known as the Gadsden Purchase. In 1860, 10 days after South Carolina seceded from the Union, the state militia seized the United States arsenal in Charleston. In 1865, our author, Rudyard Kipling, was born in Bombay, India. In 1922, Vladimir Lenin proclaimed the establishment of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, which lasted nearly seven decades before dissolving in December 1991. In 1936, the United Auto Workers Union staged its first sit-down strike at the General Motors Fisher Body Plant No. 1 in Flint, Michigan. The strike lasted until February 11, 1937. And in 1940, California's first freeway, the Aurora Seco Parkway, connecting Los Angeles and Pasadena, was officially opened by Governor Colbert L. Olson. And how time flies locally from the back pages of the Pantograph. 100 years ago, December 30th, 1920. Records show that nearly one marriage in every five in McLean County is a failure. During 1920, there were 810 marriage licenses issued at the courthouse and 153 divorce filings. The relaxed morals of the time may be to blame, but that's an age-old debate. 75 years ago, December 30th, 1945. Now it can be told. The War Department has approved release of the story of Gordon Hopper, a submarine man from Clinton. With two other men, Hopper led the rescue of 73 Allied prisoners from a Japanese prison ship. Hopper's sub had just sunk the prison ship. 50 years ago, December 30th, 1970. A Chicago to St. Louis run will be part of the new National Rail passenger service when it gets rolling. Bloomington City Council went on record favoring the GM&O route, although several others are under consideration. It's the most direct route, many believe. And 25 years ago today, December 30th, 1995, there was supposedly a scuffle between state's attorney Charles Renard and his opponent Patrick Brady. There was definitely a police report and a special prosecutor. After over a month, the special prosecutor has ruled there'll be no charges against anyone. McLean County adds 84 new COVID cases, 9 deaths. Vaccines continue for medical personnel. More than 112,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccines have been administered in Illinois since being approved this month, state health officials said on Tuesday. The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are for emergency use and are being given to medical professionals first in the state. Spokeswoman Lynn Hutley said an estimated 700 to 750 employees had received the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine at Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal by the end of the day on Tuesday. Those employees are primarily frontline healthcare workers, including doctors, nurses, and technicians in the emergency department, and certain units of the hospital, but also those who clean rooms in those high-risk areas. As of Saturday night, 50% of the workforce at OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center had received the first dose of the vaccine in Bloomington, spokeswoman Shelley Dankoff said. The hospital has a prioritization list, but that figure includes a combination of doctors, nurses, transport staff, cleaning staff, and others. Additional vaccine clinics will be held at both St. Joseph's and Carl Broman this week. The Logan County Health Department, the Logan County Department of Public Health also reported Tuesday that the agency is expected to receive the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine within the next 10 days. Illinois also Tuesday had a third consecutive day with more than 100 COVID-19 deaths, according to data. 84 new cases and 9 deaths were reported in McLean County by the health department. The statewide total for COVID includes 5,644 new confirmed and probable cases, alongside 106 additional deaths caused by the virus, according to the State Department of Public Health. Deaths ranged in age from one man in his 20s to persons older than 100. The McLean County deaths were two women in their 80s, two women in their 90s, and one male in his 90s who were associated with long-term care facilities, as well as two women in their 70s, one man in his 70s and one man in his 80s who were not associated with long-term care facilities. The county health department also said 29 residents are hospitalized due to COVID, and 92% of intensive care unit beds are in use. At the end of Monday, there were 4,313 people hospitalized with COVID-19 in Illinois, an increase of 70 from the previous 24 hours. Statewide, the rolling 7-day average case positivity rate from December 23rd to December 29th was 7.4%. That is 0.2 of a percentage point higher than the 7-day average case positivity rate reported on Monday. The rolling 7-day case positivity rate has remained below 8% for 10 consecutive days. Governor J.B. Pritzker put the entire state under Tier 3 mitigations in November, which saw second wave peaks in nearly every COVID-19 metric. The rolling case positivity rate remained above 10% for an entire month, from November 7th to December 7th. Public asked to weigh in on plans for O'Neill Park and pool. A virtual public forum will be held next month to gather input on the development of the new O'Neill Park and pool. This is the next evolution of O'Neill Park and Pool, said Jay Tetzloff, director of the City of Bloomington's Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts Department, in a statement. We want to hear what the priorities are for the park from the community we are happy to serve. The virtual public forum is scheduled for 5 p.m. on January 21st at a link bloomingtonparks.org, and also through social media pages. Through January 8th, the department is asking the public to answer a few questions about their preferences for a pool. The survey is designed to gauge interest in the inclusion of a rentable social gathering facility room or other amenities such as a dog park, pickleball courts, or a walking path for the park. For the pool, opinions are requested on options such as a speed slide, water flume slide, and a lazy river adventure channel. The survey can be found at bit.ly/surveypool. Input from the community is vital to a project of this size, said Tom Rakestraw, marketing manager for the PRNCA. We really want to hear from the neighbors of the park, the local community, and regional park visitors who choose to visit our community and O'Neill Park. Comments from the citizens help us prepare for the evolution of O'Neill Pool and Park. Demolition on the 46-year-old pool began in September. The council approved a contract for $138,526 with Stark Excavating to demolish the pool. In October, the city council approved a $775,000 contract with Williams Architects for design and construction management services. The Itasca company was chosen out of 14 firms that submitted qualifications to handle designing the new aquatic facility that will replace the 1515 West Chestnut Street pool that city officials said far exceeded its life expectancy. The pool was closed last summer to prevent the potential spread of the coronavirus, which was actually a break for the demolition crews. Being a priority for the community, O'Neill Pool and Park's timeline has us breaking ground in the spring of 2021, with hopes of a Memorial Day opening in 2022, Rakestraw said. With no aquatics season in 2020 due to COVID-19, the city was able to get a jump start on the process by removing the previous structures, turning a challenge into a true opportunity for our community. The first phase of the project will include the construction of the pool and updates to the existing skate park structures within the park, Rakestraw said. Sexual abuse charges filed against Normal Man. A Normal Man is accused by authorities of sexually abusing a minor in McLean County. Jacob Allen Terrell Chandler, 22, is charged with 3 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, accused of having sexual contact with a victim under 17 years of age in 3 separate incidents this year. According to the probable cause statement, Normal Police began their investigation in July when the victim disclosed the abuse. A warrant for Terrell Chandler's arrest was issued on October 28th, and he was taken into custody on Tuesday. Terrell Chandler was on the Illinois Sex Offender Registry in connection to a conviction from Woodford County when the offenses occurred, according to authorities. He was jailed in lieu of posting $25,035, and an arraignment was set for January 29th. Bloomington's 5-day forecast, today, morning rain, breezy and cooler, windy with a high of 41 degrees. Tonight, it'll be breezy earlier in the evening and cloudy. The low will be 19 degrees. Thursday, there'll be more clouds than sun. Temperatures ranging between 33 and 26 degrees. Friday, the winds will be subsiding, but there will be rain. Temperatures between 29 and 30 degrees. Saturday, there'll be some clouds and some sun. The high temperature is expected to be 35 degrees and the low 23 degrees. But Sunday will be mostly sunny. Temperatures ranging between 36 and 26 degrees. I'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, December 30th, 2020. I hope you'll stay tuned. Be back in just a few.